Hi, everybody. Welcome to our second show today here on Education Talk Radio on June 17th, 2020. It is a pleasure to have you here today. We're going all the way to South Dakota for this particular show. It's going to be fun. I live in Maine, so Joel, my guest, who I haven't met yet, I will bring you on in just a second. We're a long way apart, but we're together on the show from Maine to South Dakota. It's a pleasure to have Joel here. He's the superintendent of the Platt. That's P-L-A-T-T-E, Platt-Geddes, G-E-D-D-E-S, Platt-Geddes School District in Platt, South Dakota. But he is also the, quote, colony principal, and I think these are two separate titles, the colony principal of the Hutterite Colony School in Platt, South Dakota. And he's going to explain a little bit about the Hutterites, all right, which are kind of like the Amish and the Mennonites. We'll talk about that, okay, how he works with that particular community, if COVID-19 has been a challenge for this, et cetera, and we'll learn more about Platt-Geddes School District. Got to thank my friends over at Waterford for introducing me to Joel. I've really been looking forward to the show because I grew up in Pennsylvania and I'm well used to the Amish folks and the Mennonite folks, and it's going to be an interesting show. I've heard of the Hutterites, but I don't know much about them, so I hope Joel will be able to fill us in. We'll archive the show, education-talkradio.org. Please go over, check out our Equity and Access website at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. The American Consortium for Equity in Education. Please, everything we do over there, no cost, free. Join with us and speak out about equity in K-12 education at ace-ed.org. It will include a free subscription to our online journal, Accessibility, Compliance, and Equity. You'll see it all over there again, ace-ed.org. Everything's free. And I got to say good morning to my new best friend. Hello, Joel. It's Larry.
Good morning, Larry. How are you doing today?
I am just fine, Joel. It's a pleasure to have you here, and thanks for being here today. I appreciate it. We're a long way apart, South Dakota. How's the weather out there today?
Hot and windy. We're getting July like weather in June. So we've been about 90, mid 90s, and winds blowing about 30 miles an hour out here on the prairie. So,
wow,
a little bit miserable.
Yeah, but you guys get pretty bad snowstorms out there, so it's got to be better than a snowstorm.
Yeah, absolutely. We will take it. We will take it. We've had some rain, which is always good. Obviously, rural community, agriculturally based. So rain is very important, and you know, a little bit of warm temperatures and wind to dry up those rains to get our farmers in the field is also a blessing at times. So yeah,
go.
we're doing all right here in South Dakota.
Is school done for the year?
Yes, we wrapped up on May 20. We continued with our typical calendar year. So yep.
It's funny you said it's an agricultural colony and agricultural community, and for years the reason there was a summer vacation is because, quote, the kids have to go home and help mom and dad harvest. But it's an agricultural community out there in Platt. Do the kids really have to go home and help mom and dad harvest? That's early to leave school.
I would say on a large scale, yes.
That's cool.
We have a large population of our students that are at home helping mom and dad on a daily basis. So yep, that still rings true out here in South Dakota.
That's excellent to know. And where is Platt? Put Platt on the map for us, please, in South Dakota.
You bet. So Platt is located in south central South Dakota, 14 miles from the Missouri River.
Okay.
Our closest, I guess what we would call a larger town in South Dakota, we are 70 miles southwest of Mitchell, home of the world's only corn palace. We are about
George McGovern's hometown.
Miles.
I remember that. George McGovern, the corn palace.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
I would call it Dakota Wesleyan. We have the George McGovern Library. Yeah, one of our most prominent political figures from South Dakota, for sure.
Absolutely. Ran for president in 1972, if I remember correctly. Okay. Against
yep.
Richard Nixon.
Yes,
there
sir.
You go. I remember.
Yes.
I remember all too well. I'm old enough, unfortunately, to remember all too well those years. Okay. So, yes, I do remember them. Without question. And real quick, I want to know about your full school district, Platt Geddes, and tell us a little bit about that and all that. Then I want to talk about what you do with the Hutterites. So just explain Platt Geddes School District. Tell everybody the demographics, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you bet. So we are what we call a consolidated school district between two communities, so the community of Platt and the community of Geddes. And the district's consolidated back in 2007. So Platt is a community of about 1,300 people, and Geddes is a community of just under 300. We're 15 miles apart. Yeah, so we're a small community. Our district this year, we teeter right at that 500 mark K-12 enrollment. And to be honest, we are a little bit of an anomaly for schools our size because our enrollment really seems to be sustaining or growing just a little bit. We have great numbers in our elementary school. We are now a K-5 elementary. We have about 225 kids there. And then we have a 6-12 middle school, high school that is in one building. So we have another 185 kids there. And then we actually have two Hutterite Colony schools, Platt Colony School, which is about 22 miles from Platt to the northwest. We have 23 students in that school, and we also have Cedar Grove Colony School, which is about 15 miles northeast of Platt, and we have 40 students there. So 500 students strong. We have 40 highly qualified, certified teachers, very, like I said, agriculturally based community, very proud. Main Street is as clean as you would see, and it's kind of the heart of middle of America.
Boy, it really is. A big smile on my face. I wish you could see me. It's really nice the way you're describing it.
Yeah, it is. It is a great place to live and grow and raise a family. Fantastic community support from both communities. It's honestly a great place to live and work. As supportive as you could possibly find when it comes to being a public school. We also have Dakota Christian School, which is a private school that resides within our district, and that is located 10 miles to the east of us, and they have about 84 kids K through 12. We don't have a lot of involvement, but we do provide the Title I services and a teacher there. So
good. Those kids over at the Christian school need all the help you can give them too. So that's terrific that you do that. And it's interesting. When I got this little cheat sheet I have, it says to me you're the superintendent. And I want you to lay this out of Platt Geddes, and then it was a comma, and it said, but you're the colony principal. Okay, that was a separate title. Are they two separate titles? Just explain that, please.
Yeah, well, I'll start from the beginning. When I began my career here 9 years ago, I came to Platt Geddes as the elementary principal, and I served in that role for 2 years, and combined with the elementary principal role was always the colony principal position. So at our two colony schools, we have five teachers, and then we have paraprofessionals out there. And it was just simply the principal duties of being an instructional leader, evaluating teachers, handling disciplinary matters at the school, curriculum, all the things that come with being. That all fell out under the auspices of the elementary principal at Platt Geddes Elementary. In my third year, I served dual roles as the superintendent and elementary principal. So I was wearing two hats. And again, had the colony teachers and schools as well. After that year, I went to the board and I just said, I cannot do both of these positions justice. I do think we need a full-time elementary principal. However, during my first 3 years, I developed a great working relationship with our two colony schools and the students and the leaders out there. And I knew that it's a lot because for an elementary principal, because you have your teachers in town and you have your students, and to get to those two schools that are 15 and 20 miles away and make sure that you're supporting the teachers and students there, It's a lot. So I asked to keep the role as the colony principal when I took over as only the superintendent. And that's
nice.
What I've done
nice.
For the past 7 years. Yep.
Wow.
So it is two
nice.
Separate roles. Yep.
Right.
So, and then as far as the superintendent role, it is, you know, evaluating, you know, its policies, its procedures, its, you know, setting district direction, goals, working with our two principals. So it's a pretty standard superintendent job. Honestly, I will always be an elementary principal at heart, and some of my happiest days are going to those colony schools and getting to interact with those kids and the teachers. And we're fortunate because our, Platt Geddes Elementary and Platt Geddes Junior High and High School are one block apart. So, very easy for me to walk over and see the kids, help with lunch duty, recess, those sort of things. And when you're a small school like we are, you know, it's always a all hands on deck approach. So everyone's very willing to do what they need to do to get the job done. And obviously at the end of the day, primary focus is doing what's best for our students at Platt Geddes.
You got it. I have to tell you, I went to your website earlier, Platt Geddes Community Schools, and there was a kind of staff directory, and I clicked on that icon and went down. It had photos of everybody, and I have to tell you this. I don't know whether you noticed it, but I have to tell you this. I noticed that everybody was smiling. Everybody had a big smile on their face. Okay, and it was really just sweet to see that as I went down the list. It said something. Okay, without saying something, it said something. Okay. It was really nice. But let me ask, are the Hutterite schools, and we're going to have to define that in a second, but are the Hutterite schools, are you the superintendent of those schools too? Who actually, if I may, runs that's I don't know how to say it, school district or whatever, how the colony schools?
Yep. They are part of the Platt Geddes School District.
Ah.
So it's Platt Geddes School District. It's all encompassing of our elementary school, junior high, high school, and our two colony schools. And actually, South Dakota, there's about 40 public school districts that have colony schools within their districts.
Yeah, I saw that. I read it. And you know,
yep.
I'm from Pennsylvania, so I know I certainly know of the Amish and the Mennonites and you know people out. You know, if we have a large Mennonite colony here, right near where I live in Maine. Okay, a lot of Mennonite folks here. So I'm a little bit familiar, okay? And I knew the term Hutterites. I don't know how I knew that, okay? But if I read this right, they kind of were formed in the Reformation. It's a religious grouping, okay? They sort of, you have a picture in your mind of folks, of Amish people or Mennonite folks, old Mennonite, not new Mennonite. Young ladies with the bonnets on tied and longer skirts and country dresses. That's kind of what it looks like. Okay. But describe, are you, I don't believe you are Hutterite. What was it like to go in there? Because sometimes those communities can be a little standoffish till they get to know people. Believe me, I know. I'm from southeastern Pennsylvania. Okay.
Yeah. You know,
with all due respect,
absolutely.
I say that, but it's true. Yeah.
To be honest, I was familiar with the Hutterite culture prior to taking over in this position. The district or the community I grew up in was just only, it was 60 miles from Platt. So very familiar with the makeup of and the Hutterite colonies. They are very similar to your Amish in the way they dress. Like you said, the long floral dresses, the bonnets, the men, black pants, plaid shirts, suspenders.
Yeah.
So I would say one thing that really sets them apart from the Amish, and I'm not sure about Mennonites, I'm not extremely familiar with them, but the Hutterite brethren is extremely technologically advanced when it comes to agriculture and using the best equipment and things for farming. Huge farmers also raise a lot of livestock, hog confinements, turkeys, chickens, geese. And when it comes to doing work, they are the most ingenious group of people I have ever met. The way that they can just look at something and their creativity and how they can make things more efficient and work better. It's absolutely remarkable. And the cool thing is watching those kids in our schools just get their hands on those things and just go to town.
So unlike the Amish, they're a little, again, I want to say this again with all due respect to all groups, the Amish tend to not like technology. They don't like modern things, all right, where it sounds like the Hutterites do. Like, for example, do they have computers at their house? I just have to ask that. That's maybe a good way to say it. Are they connected to the internet?
Yeah. So and they use, we're very fortunate in our district. They allow us to have computers and internet for educational purposes. They do not have the internet or computers in their home. However, for the business side of things, absolutely they are tech savvy, and they use those resources to meet their day-to-day operations and to continue to support and expand their colonies.
And the kids must, if I may, commingle, because Cedar Grove is an elementary, right? So when they get to middle school or high school, are all the kids coming together commingling?
No, they're not. So each colony school is separate. So picture one-room schoolhouse, the rural traditional school setting. Picture a one-room schoolhouse. And we send our teachers. We have two teachers at Platte Colony and three teachers at Cedar Grove, multi-age classrooms. So we will have like our half-day kindergarten through second grade in one room, third through fifth in another, and then sixth through eighth in another. So it's multi-age. Another thing with the Hutterite Colony is they are German speakers first. All of those kids come in as what we would call ESL students.
Yeah.
And
how interesting.
Yep. Oh. Yeah. Their dialect of German is not something that you could have taken a regular German course in school or something and speak their dialect. It's very specific to their culture, and in order to learn it, you really have to be immersed in it. It's not like something
By the time the kids are done 12th grade, do they all speak English and German?
Yes. So South Dakota has their compulsory school requirements for Hutterite Colony schools is they are only required to attend school through 8th grade. And then they are able to join the workforce within the colony. They have the option. Some colonies do have their kids go on to high school through a cyber school, or possibly they have a teacher within the Hutterite who works with them. But a large majority of them only goes to school through 8th grade. And then with the reason is those kids are working. From the age of about five, large gardens, and then as they work their way up, they kind of have a job assignment that they're kind of tailored for. Maybe it's a carpenter, maybe it's an electrician, maybe they're in the dairy barn. So as they go through 8th grade, they've kind of, as they finish, they've kind of been placed in where their career within the colony will take them.
And you know, that's an interesting thing because throughout all of American public education, which, by the way, the kids are involved in this, we always talk about college and career ready. That's the catchphrase. You've heard that a million times.
You betcha.
Okay. Yeah. And of course, for the regular kids in Platte Geddes, that, of course, is something you're striving for all the time. Okay. And it's interesting. Teachers have to have a different mindset. The teachers have to have a different mindset to give the due respect to the community and kids. It's really a they talk about cultural competency in education, and that usually comes out when African American kids or Latino kids are taught by Caucasians. That's what they're usually saying. Your teachers, this is very interesting, actually reflect, they have to, a cultural competency. They have to understand. Okay, what the Hutterite Colony needs. It's got to be a very relatable education, I would imagine. Am I wrong, or where am I on this?
No, 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 not at all. And we're extremely blessed. I have five wonderful teachers out there, and I just want to say this. So, in order to fill a colony teaching position where you're advertising for a multi-age classroom, that's something not a lot of teachers want to jump
into.
That's for
sure. They have very good training there. Yeah.
Right. But when we get those teachers into the school and they immerse themselves in the Hutterite culture, the level of support that you receive from the colony families and the colony leaders is amazing. And most of them do not want to leave. I have two teachers who have been out there well over 20 years. I have a two that have been out there over 10, and they've only came to town because it is more, their children are now in school and stuff, so it's more convenient for them to have their kids within the Platte Geddes Elementary and don't have to make the long trek to work every day. They absolutely do immerse themselves into the colony, and the colony take them in as family. As a matter of fact, the colony prepares them lunch every day for our teachers out there. They've babysat our teachers' children while they're working. So as a matter of fact, one of our teachers, her daughter started going to German school with the colony students. They have German school at 7:15 every morning. Then they come to, regular school, and then they have German school after every day.
Wow.
So we have a student now in our elementary who can speak Hutterite because she actually went to kindergarten out there and then decided now when her mom moved to town, she goes to school here. But yeah, so it's really neat, and the teachers really do immerse themselves, and they take them in as family.
That is really cool. What happened? And I'm sure all schools closed there, okay? Again, I'm in Maine. Everything closed down here. What happened during COVID with the Hutterite schools? Because now we had to go to remote learning, and although they're using their technology for running the farm, et cetera, okay, were you able to get through to the kids during COVID-19?
Yeah, so actually we did not have the internet access within the homes. So again, a blessing and hats off to my teachers. We prepared learning packets, paper copies of things for the students to take home. My teachers would still go out there and they would be in their classrooms, and we would just have kids come in small groups. They would, and then like grade levels, kindergarten, first, second, they would get their instruction. They would go home. The moms that would help the kids with the homework. A lot of it was pictures and things and maybe completed if it was a completed project that would model what the teacher wanted, so the parents could look at it and the students could see what that end product should be. A lot of conferencing back and forth. Without technology. One thing we did try to maintain is we used the Waterford Early Learning program for...
You must have been reading my mind. I was just going to ask you that. Okay, so please continue. That's odd. Yeah, go ahead.
So when our K-2 students would come to get their assignments and get a little bit of instruction with the teacher, We would strive to get them on the early learning programs for the reading and then for the math and science combination for that 15 to 20 minutes a day. Not only were they getting that, but also they get that EL component for their language. So that was one of our primary focuses, and that was where I wanted to make sure that we were still getting those kids that little bit of differentiated instruction, the EL component, the reading and math, just to make sure those foundational skills, continue to be supported. And it worked out very well. And they, as a matter of fact, we're continuing now. We're using some of our CARES Act money to continue to offer some instruction out there throughout the summer. And we're kind of following the same plan as we did with COVID. Yep.
That is very nice. And I was going to ask you, how did you hook up with Waterford? Because they're my good friends, and they They put us in contact. I have to ask you something, which is an odd question. You're in an unusual position dealing with these lovely folks. Okay, I have to ask. There's an old saying, how are you going to keep them down on the farm after they've seen Perry? And in the Cedar Grove School, let's use that, when you are teaching the kids, I assume you're teaching them science and literature and all that and geography, whatever the case may be, do kids ever get sort of the urge to leave the colony because of what they've learned? It's a tough question, okay? And I certainly don't want to break up the Hutterite colony, but I'm curious what happens with that as the kids learn and go through eighth grade.
Yeah, so it's a valid question, and at times there have been Hutterites who have left the colony. You know, we use the same curriculums and things that we do within our public schools in town. We're required to adhere to the same content standards, so every content area we are delivering that the same way. One of the biggest barriers that I would see with our colony schools is when we talk about real-world experience and real-world connections as those kids are learning, it's really hard for them to understand the size of an elephant,
if
they've never seen one. So they do have a limited exposure to the outside world, and it does in fact kind of keep them on the colony. The other thing, probably the coolest thing about it, is you will never find a group of more engaged and avid readers and learners.
I believe that.
Because they don't have the outside interruptions of the internet or social media. So those
lucky
kids
them.
Kids immerse themselves in reading and books, and that's their sense of entertainment and adventure. And we have to tell kids to literally put their chapter books away and get back to what they're supposed to be doing. Where in town, we're telling kids to take out a book once their work's done. So
you can really see the difference in the balance. It's just that's very, very cute, you know. And you have to strike an interesting balance as superintendent and colony principal with all your faculty and staff to deeply respect what these folks are doing. Okay, and certainly don't want to break up the colony or anything like that. You teach them and thus human nature. It's an interesting mix, and I congratulate them for working so closely with you. Joel, this is great. We got to go, but I'll tell you, man, this is really – you got a great job out there. I got to tell you. This is cool.
I absolutely love it.
Well, I can tell in your voice you do, and I can't thank you enough for being with us today. Joel, thanks a million, man. You're a good superintendent.
Yes.
Enjoy the summer, okay? Enjoy the summer.
I appreciate it. Yeah, will do. Thanks, Larry. You take care, and thanks for having me on.
I appreciate you being here. Thanks, Joel. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
You bet. See ya. Bye.
Joel Bailey, everybody. Superintendent, Platte Geddes School District in South Dakota, and then colony principal of the Hutterite Colony School. It's so interesting. Wow, what a cool job. That's really great. Thanks, Joel. Thank you, Waterford. I appreciate this. This is great. We'll archive the show at education-talkradio.org and tweet it out at EduTalkRadio. Check out ace-ed.org, our equity and access website. Join our consortium. Everything over there is free. Okay, thanks for listening. I'm Larry Jacobs. Talk to you again soon.